This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. It seems like everybody has an opinion on the city streetcar project. Supporters say it will result in economic development along the route through downtown and over the Rhine, and will eventually connect the city's riverfront with the uptown near the University of Cincinnati. Opponents say the project is a waste of money and point to the escalating cost for building the first phase of the system as proof. The city has awarded a construction contract for the streetcar, meaning a contractor is free to order materials and begin work, but that hasn't stopped opponents who want to stop the plan. We'd like to hear from you about the streetcar. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You'll also find us on Facebook and Twitter. There are strong feelings on both sides of this issue, and we intend for this to be a rational and civil discussion of the streetcar project. We ask that you respect others who may have differing opinions on the topic. Later in the hour, I'll be talking with Cincinnati's interim police chief, Paul Humphreys, about the department and changes to the way officers are responding to some calls for service in the city. That interview was recorded last week. But first, joining us to talk about the streetcar project are John Schneider, who's the chairman of the Alliance for Regional Transit and a supporter of the streetcar project, and Pete Witte, a Price Hill business owner and streetcar opponent. John and Pete, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
John, let me start with you. We sent you an email, and you said there's nothing to debate. The streetcar project is moving forward, but there seems to be a lot of people who don't want it to move forward. So as a supporter, why is this a good project for Cincinnati?
At its core, it's a strategy for repopulating the city of Cincinnati. Right now, across the country, and particularly in our city, there's tremendous interest in livable, walkable neighborhoods. And we have those. We have these authentic places like downtown, over the Rhine, Northside, Clifton, I can name them. And what this does, it removes the burden of parking, supplying parking, which we taxpayers often pay for these residential developments, and enables people to live with fewer cars or with no cars, and in turn, transfer the money they spend on their cars to pay for the housing. At its heart, in my opinion, it's a strategy for getting the city out of all these subsidies that we've been doing for residential development and put those on a firm economic basis.
That's why John supports it. Pete, I'll give you an equal time. Why are you opposed to the streetcar project?
I think primarily, given the cost of the investment, we, those of us that don't live in Over the Rhine, don't see the justifiable return given the cost that seems to be escalating. So we think that if we want to reinvest into transit or new transit, doing a circulator in downtown Cincinnati just doesn't seem to be the route to go, especially since many of us that live in communities outside of Over the Rhine and downtown don't quite understand our benefit.
John, the project took a hit. Originally, the project was to go from the riverfront with the circulator through downtown to Over the Rhine and then up Vine Street, I believe, to the uptown. That part was removed. How big a hit was that to the project when the uptown link came out?
Oh, I think it hurt. I agree with one thing Pete said. We should be doing this in the neighborhoods. We used to have 212 miles of streetcar lines in Cincinnati. You know, you have to start somewhere. When President Eisenhower called for the Interstate Highway Program in the mid-50s, somebody got the first mile of the 37,000 miles that were proposed at the time. That happened to be in Kansas. And I chaired the light rail campaign in 2002, a massive expansion of the bus system, light rail streetcars. And while that was losing 2-1 countywide, it was winning 2-1 in Over the Rhine and downtown. And so we said, what can we do to introduce rail to the city in a neighborhood or neighborhoods that want it? And downtown and Over the Rhine are the logical first step. I don't think we're going to stop there. The city is right now looking for the money to get to uptown. If Governor Kasich hadn't vetoed that, we would be working on that right now. But this is just a start. We're not stopping with Over the Rhine and downtown.
But that decision by Governor Kasich in 2011 to yank that $52 million, that was a killer in terms of moving us up to the uptown UC area. How do you fix it? How do you get around that in a situation where the city is strapped financially?
It may require some contributions by the large institutions up there. They have tremendous parking problems. Christ Hospital employees are parking in this building right now, 2 miles away from their site, because they're basically built to the edge of their property, and they're tearing down buildings right now to build more buildings and more parking. I think it's going to take everyone pulling together to do it. I think the feds are watching this program carefully. The feds have a history of staying with projects once they originally invest in them. If they're satisfied with them, if we produce results, I think we have a chance to get more federal money and hopefully more local money to do the extension to Uptown and beyond that.
Pete, there have been two ballot issues on this subject, 2009, 2011, that would have stopped Streetcar in its tracks had they passed, but they didn't. Some say they were too broadly drawn to prevent the city from spending money on any kind of rail project, light rail, anything. Do you think those ballot issues were a mistake in hindsight?
I think certainly the first one was definitely a mistake. It was overreaching, and it caused the fears that the train at the zoo was going to be shut down. And I think that it really scared people that it would prohibit any modernization of transportation inside the city. So I think that one was an overreach. I think honestly, the second ballot initiative was a yes meant no and a no meant yes, and was confusing enough that I'm not sure everybody knew what they were exactly voting on, which caused that one to lose.
Well, it passed with 52% of the vote.
Well, I say lose,
down,
meaning
went down with
right.
52% of the votes. But you believe that people walked into the polling places and really didn't know what they were voting on.
Yeah, if you were saying no to the streetcar, you were actually voting yes on that.
With this idea of you said, let's don't do the first phase and stop. And I think the city manager has said, if we're just going to build a downtown circulator and stop, we ought not to do it. Certainly, there are candidates running for mayor who say that if elected, they intend to pull the plug on the streetcar project. Isn't it conceivable that you could end up with that downtown circulator and that's it?
I don't think so. All the cities that have built rail, once they've started, have continued building it. I can only think of one city that's built one first phase and never extended it, says they'll never extend it. That's Buffalo, New York, which probably says more about Buffalo than it does about the technology. I think one of the reasons – basically, I've talked to lots of people who say, well, I'm not sure about the streetcar, but I want light rail. Well, guess what? This is light rail. This is a one-car light rail train. And we're confident when people see it operating, when people see the development along the line, when people see that the people are using it, that they're going to start to talk about, gee, how can we get this to our neighborhoods? And in a broader regional sense, how can we revive the light rail conversation around here? So that's – I think this is just a necessary building block to get to the kind of community that I hope we have someday.
But in terms of expanding this and bringing and taking it uptown, you don't believe that this election for mayor and for city council, because there are a number of city council candidates who are opposed to this, is going to make any difference?
Well, I think we're obviously caught up in politics. I mean, if it's a 50-50 split community decision, you can get some votes by opposing it. There's a great quote by Upton Sinclair that says, it's difficult to get a man to understand something if his salary depends on his not understanding it. And so I think a lot of the politicians who profess that they don't understand why they're doing that, I think they get some votes out of that. There is no greater zealot than a convert. I used to be opposed to rail. Early on when I was the original DCI transportation chairman, I'm a bus rider. My bus pass is in my pocket. Ride the bus all the time. I thought, hey, buses work for me. Why are we doing this? And I basically went around the country on my own dime, saw the system, and convinced that we need to do it. And I think once people see this, they're going to understand the power of this system, and they're going to want more of it.
Pete, you're a guy who has run a political action committee on the West Side. What impact do you think that this council race and the mayor's race could have on the future of this project?
I think it could be significant. I think we're starting to come to the realization, both with the streetcar and the parking plan, that elections do have consequences. And so I think that many people, having failed on two other ballot initiatives to stop the streetcar, now recognize that, the general election in November is the real way to try to stop this or to redirect.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about the streetcar project. You can join the conversation 513 513- 419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. John, I know at hearings there are a lot of young people who come out and talk about the streetcar.
And I'll be 65 in a couple months, or a lot of us too.
But I've read other articles that the streetcars are aimed at young professionals.
I'm not saying that. I suppose you've read that. But I think they're aimed at everyone. They're aimed at the community of people with disabilities who will be able to board a 100% low-floor car, unique in the nation, without having to go up steps and deboard through wide doors and have wide aisles to circulate. And cyclists can put their bikes on them and go up the hill to Clifton and not have to climb the Clifton or Gilbert or Reading Road hills. There are lots of communities of interests involved in this. I think the young people's argument, I mean, it is a fact in America that young people are driving less. In fact, the only cohort of people in America who are driving more these days are persons 60 and older. If you're a person who's 18 years old today, your chances of having a driver's license are substantially less than only 20 years ago, and that's a worldwide trend. Young people, for reasons I don't fully understand, want something other than going to the mall and driving. They want walkable chance encounters on sidewalks, and they want to live in authentic neighborhoods, and the streetcar speaks to that.
We have an email from Josh. It says, where does the city plan to get the extra money to operate the streetcar, and how much is that likely to cost every year? And I think the city has said this will have to be subsidized. The fare box will not cover the operating cost of the streetcar.
No transportation project in America pays for itself. The street outside this building doesn't pay for itself. I-71 and I-75 and I-74 do not pay for themselves. The airport does not pay for itself. I think you have to, if you're going to look at the cost, you've got to look at the benefits. You've got to look at $1.4 billion worth of economic development, $400 million of increased property values, and the property taxes that are generated from that, plus, more importantly, all the people who are living in those buildings and working in those buildings and their contribution to our earnings tax.
Pete, you want to respond to that?
You know, I think that ongoing operating expense is a real issue for many of us as we watch year after year the budget debate and the thing that is the budget debacle that comes out of Cincinnati City Council. I hate to see that a subsidy that large might go to this every year.
This is Cincinnati Edition. We're talking this afternoon about the Cincinnati streetcar, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment. This is 91.7 WVXU.